everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and I'd like to welcome back to the show once again, Brett Harada and Kyle Anima. Welcome back, guys.
What's up? I think we're, me and Kyle are competing for how many times we could get on here. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with a new greeting. What's up, Damon? Wait, no, I think I did that last time.
Okay, so for last week's episode, we kind of covered a lot of different topics, and we felt like there were still a few different things we wanted to talk about. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, you might want to check it out. We dived into a little bit of the controversy surrounding Balenciaga and some of the information that came out about some of their recent ad campaigns and kind of what that means to us as believers and followers of Jesus and how we should respond and interact with information like that. And so as we were kind of going through all of these different scenarios, we kind of felt like there was still more that we had to say. So for this episode, we kind of wanted to kick it off by recognizing that as a church, we have been partnering with different organizations to stand for Jesus. And it's been really cool that we have different partners around the world that we're able to work with and partner with and support. People that have recently come to church and shared with us, like Les and Lynn Ganoza, who work with Zoe International, and they're rescuing kids all over the world. You know, most of it that we've been involved with has been in Thailand, but recently they're opening things even as locally as Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And then also with Michelle Okimura and Explicit Movement, and we've been able to partner with her on Brave and Beautiful to help young girls to prevent them from going into sex trafficking industry. And so we've been trying to find organizations to partner with that will take stands against a worldly culture for God. And it's been really cool as we've been able to interact with them a lot recently because they've been coming to visit. And so we did want to start off by kind of identifying that and talking a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, as a church, that's, you know, it's not that all of our church members get involved in it directly, but, you know, some have. We have some people that have really felt a calling and a passion for helping put an end to trafficking. But as a church, we also want to financially support those people in that field. It's a ministry, and it's tough. And, it's just cool that we had them on recently. And, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things, especially about that industry, the trafficking industry, is how underground everything is, right? It's not in the mainstream. It's not things that you hear about all the time. But as we've been involved and interacted with Michelle and Les and Lynn and other people, you know, Trish and Jamie have been working with Destiny Rescue. Mm-hmm. And so with these different organizations, we're just recognizing how prevalent this issue is, but how little it gets talked about. And I think that's kind of where we wanted to start this episode with, is just there's a lot of stuff going on in our world that we're, unless you're really paying attention, it's easy to miss.
Yeah. What do you think, Brett?
No, I'm so glad that we are connected with people that are, you know, fighting for kids or just people that are getting taken advantage of and just treated poorly, because it's pretty sickening to hear and know that a lot of that stuff goes on. And I mean, like you said, there's a lot more that goes on than probably all of us recognize and we see. And some of it is kind of like hidden in plain sight. And so it's really frustrating, sickening, angering. And I feel bad, but, you know, I have to do my best to support organizations or people that are fighting that good fight. And then also focusing more on the hope that God brings than just looking at all the darkness and the evil, because it could mentally, you know, put me in a bad space if that's all I'm thinking about, and it feels hopeless, or just looking at too much darkness clouds your vision.
Yeah, you know, we talked a little bit about it last time, but just the things, the evil things that kind of just, they're around us and we're not even aware of it if we don't look for it. Or not that we're seeking it out, but if we're not just paying attention. You know, I actually wasn't going to share this, but it just popped in my mind, and I think I'm supposed to share this. So this might get us on a little bit of a different tangent. But my wife's a social worker, and this summer she went to a training or a continuing education thing, and that one of the speakers was a victim of satanic ritual abuse. And when she came home and shared some of the stuff, I have heard of it. I've been aware of it. I know like Pastor Dean in Hawaii, he's been dealing with some of that kind of stuff too, with victims of that. But then you hear somebody share their story, even just hearing it through my wife. I wasn't the one listening to the person share, but you hear it, and she's a young girl, and she saw I'm not going to repeat this, some of the stuff, but just vile evil. And yet she survived, and, you know, then she has survivor's guilt and things like that she's dealing with. But, you know, a lot of times we just think, that stuff's like more in the movies. It's not around us, and there's nothing I can do about it. But I don't know. Once you're made aware of it, it hits home in a different way, you know. And for this lady now, you know, she's a believer, and she's, you know, trying to get the word out as well. Like that, this evil is out there. And I don't know. I mean, I struggle with that one because I don't know what I'm supposed to do about it, but I'm aware of it. And I know that I'm not just supposed to ignore it and just, I don't even want to think about it, because it's not, like you said, Brett, it's not pleasant. It's not like something I want to dwell on. But at the same time, we're not just supposed to just push it aside.
Yeah, I think when we talk about topics like this, it can really easily go to some of those dark places like we're talking about. But then it can also go to this place where we allow fear to influence how we want to respond or how we want to react. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of funny. In this past Sunday, we had some sharing about people who had experienced miraculous healing and God healing people. And so one of the things that stood out to me was Liz was sharing, and she kind of had a misstep in what she was kind of language she was using. So she wanted to say that she was a worrier, but she kind of said warrior, and she wanted to clarify. And then when she said that, it really stood out to me, like how close it is, the words warrior and worrier, right? And I felt like that dynamic is so interesting, because I feel like the enemy wants us to be worriers. He wants fear and doubt and those emotions to be the dominant ones for us, because if we're always afraid or if we're worried or anxious or things like that, then we're going to be trying to play defense all the time. Mm-hmm. But God wants us to be warriors for him, and not to allow the fear to hinder us from taking stands or from advancing on the enemy. And so I feel like that's the direction that we want to take this podcast too, is really, it's not just exposing the darkness so that we recognize it and then we get afraid, but it's really to help us to understand who we're fighting against and who's on our side, which is God. And that's kind of how we ended the last episode, was, you know, God wins. And we know that, but we also want to experience that too, and not just know it in our minds, but then we really want to be able to experience what it looks like for us to be victorious as believers, and not just, okay, I hope God's going to win.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wasn't even here this past Sunday, but just you sharing that, that's such a good word. You know, I've dealt with my own share of being a worrier, and a lot of times when you're a worrier, and whether it's your own internal thoughts or things that you see that bring fear or distract you from what your eyes should be fixed on, it really cuts the legs out from under you. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for you to go anywhere or just have any action about things because of the worry. And a lot of times when we hear these things, I know that I'm guilty of feeling hopeless or helpless, or like there's nothing I can do about it. But it's really forgetting that, yeah, God has given us life and a promise, and he has made us warriors, that the way that you know, we fight may not look like how the evil is fighting in the world, but we have to trust that, you know, in the spiritual realm, in our relationship and walk with God and what he's doing, that he ultimately has victory, and so that we have the power to fight back. We have the power to destroy the thoughts in our heads that are lies, to find the truth, despite all the confusion or lies that are going around. And so it's a good reminder to me that, I need to step into being a warrior, and there's even fear in stepping into being a warrior, but just remember that I'm a warrior, and I don't have to be just a warrior.
It's funny, when you were you were talking about that warrior and worrier. So Damon's across the table and me and Brett are next to each other. And I'm thinking like, oh, me and Brett have had conversations. Like we've both had our pretty good battles with worry and fear. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh yeah, Damon's talking to us right now.
I was talking to myself right now, but
no, I mean, we've had some deep struggles with it. But then when you do see some victory and overcome it, you realize like, yeah, like that's such a defeatist mentality and a place to be. And it's not that it's easy to get out of, but God does want us to get out of that. And mm-hmm. when we have victory over that, it's amazing. But when you were sharing to Brett, I was thinking of, I think as Christians, sometimes we discount that we have the tool and the weapon of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter, I feel like I can't do anything about it, but we can always go to the Lord in prayer. We can mm-hmm. pray for those that are in that industry or in that mm-hmm. fight,
mm-hmm.
and we can bring them support that way. Because so there's always something we can do,
mm-hmm.
and I'm guilty of that. I don't go to that room and or that place enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know. And then you know you brought up the movie War Room, and that's
I was just gonna talk about that right now. Yeah. So if you don't know, I really like movies, and so one of the movies that I really appreciate, and it is a Christian movie. It's called War Room, and it's about a woman who is struggling in her marriage, and she says, you know, one of the things that she's able to do well is fight with her husband, right? And then an older woman comes to her as kind of a discipler, and she helps her to understand and recognize that her husband is not really her enemy, but the devil wants her to think that her husband is the enemy. So then she's fighting against the wrong person, right? And so I think that happens a lot, especially as we are thinking about some of these different things, is that we pit ourselves against the wrong enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we might pray against the wrong thing when really we should be praying against Satan and the demons that are trying to impact us. But we're trying to fight against, you know, our friend or someone that could be our friend. And so I think it's really as we're moving through the season of being more aware of what's going on in the world and kind of what the enemy might be doing, it's remembering we have prayer as a weapon and we can use it to advance God's kingdom. And that's really what he wants to train us in and build us up in.
Yeah, I think for me, just interacting with more of like the intercessors at church and the different people that are, I mean, I don't use the term lightly, but prayer warriors, like people that are, I mean, I have that most respect for them. And I really like what things happen in our church, not just even in our church, but in the world. Like there's so many people that are deep, I want to say gifted prayers, but just connected with the Lord. And they know his heart and they're passionate about the way they pray. And I think that's such an awesome, it's an awesome weapon. And I think we don't value it enough.
Yeah, I think prayer is something that in my own battles and struggles, I've learned that I think growing up, I saw it a certain way. Like prayer was just like, you know, before you go to bed, before you eat meals, you know, sometimes it's when you know, someone is sick or, you know, you pray for what you're thankful for. But I think in my own struggles of being a warrior and trying to find my footing as a warrior, prayer is so powerful in that it can just be a conversation with God, as simple as that, but also that it can be like ongoing throughout the whole day. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've had prayers while I'm stepping out of my car because I'm nervous about going to a class in college, to you know, prayer when I'm entering into a hospital room because I'm visiting someone that's sick, to I'm just feeling off today, God, like I need to, can you help me get mm-hmm. aligned to, like, you know, it's just like, it doesn't have to be a specific thing. It can be like all the time. It could be about everything. And just being in more of that constant connection and conversation with God just provides so much more power, I think, when we're just going through our daily life too, just throughout whatever we face, you know, really looking at it and going to him first, right? I think we always talk about like, are we going to, like, what are we, when something comes our way, what is our first reaction? Are we like going to God, or are we going to something else? And I think prayer is a way that I've learned that, you know, it's a way to go to God first and mm-hmm. He's the first one that you kind of ask about to give you, how am I supposed to respond to, you know, all of those things. It's mm-hmm. easy to, or it can be easy to go to him and just lay it at his feet first and then let that direct whatever happens after that.
Mm. Yeah. And as you were sharing, Brett, it really made me think of a lot of times we pray in response to certain circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's about time for dinner, so I'm going to say grace, or I'm going to go to bed, so I'm going to pray, or this happened, so I need to pray because this thing happened. But something that you had mentioned earlier kind of was highlighted to me, Brett, is that you had talked about the promises of God, right? Mm. And so one thing that we can do is that we can pray in the promise of God, the promises that he's already made. And so I think that's why one thing that's super cool about you having the middle schoolers doing some of the memory verses is that we're instilling in them different promises of God that they can stand on. So then in different situations, they don't even have to wait for situations to come. They can just be proactive in praying in some of these promises, you know? So like Dylan, my son, he memorized Proverbs 3:5-6, right? Which is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. So for him, what he can do now, instead of having to wait for a circumstance, he can say, God, I want to trust you. I want to submit to you. I know you're going to make my path straight when I do this, right? And so he can pray into those promises and mm-hmm. know and have confidence that God is going to show him where to go and what to do. And so when we have these different verses that we've memorized, we can use them as weapons instead of just using them as, oh, it's just something to remember or different things. But we can actually use them as, these are God's promises. How can I stand on them? And how can I live them out?
Yeah, I mean, that was my hope. And it was something that I feel like I was even myself being convicted of. And so I was like, man, if the middle schoolers could get it at that age, then I think it'll only make it more powerful for them. And hopefully it'll help them. So good job, Dad, in memorizing the verse and being able to point that out for him as well.
Well, I kind of did it more for you than for him because I know you had to memorize like 7. So I was like, oh, I got to help Brett out.
Yeah, no, it's been good. And, you know, I think that's the other thing too, like prayer and then the memory verses being a weapon, right? God's word is a weapon for us. And, you know, sometimes a lot of times I think prayer and Bible verses or reading the Bible is more of like a comfort thing, which is good. And I think, you know, saying prayer before a meal and you know, before you go to bed, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But expanding our perspective on God's word and prayer to seeing that, no, it could be used for offense, like you're talking about. Like, we're not just supposed to be on the defensive the whole time, right? And so understanding that, no, some of these things can be used for offense is really empowering. And sometimes it's a little scary because it does take that step of faith to have that faith and like, no, this is what God has promised. And so this is what's going to happen, or, you know, things are going to change, or he's going to do something. There's a little bit of that fear that I think the enemy tries to use to not, you know, let it connect to being offensive. But mm-hmm. when we're able to step into that, you know, God doesn't leave us hanging. And so, yeah, my hope is that we can all grow more in our quote unquote offensive Christian abilities with prayer and memorizing scripture.
Yeah, I think there's that, oh man, I just lost my train of thought, but it's the thing about you can't win a game if you're always on defense, right? Mm-hmm. You have to go on offense at some point because at the worst you're going to tie, right? If you're never on offense, you never score any points, you never do anything. The best you're going to do is tie. So you have to go on offense at some point. So mm-hmm. I think we get kind of sucked into that idea that we just need to be on defense. I don't know if we get sucked into it or if that's just complacency, if it's whatever. But yeah, I think we need to have that offensive mindset.
Well, when I was growing up playing sports, I was always told the best offense is a good defense, but I didn't really like that. So when I started coaching, I said it the other way. I said the best defense is a good offense. you know, I guess I'm throwing a lot of movies out there today. So as we're talking about being in this battle and being in you know, a spiritual war and what it looks like for us to take more of an offensive approach and, having a different mindset, one of the movies that comes to mind is the movie 300.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a kind of a graphic and gory movie, but there's one scene that really stands out to me, and it's the scene where Xerxes, who's the evil king, is trying to, you know, lead his Persian army against the Spartans, and he's telling them, you know, I have my millions of followers, and they're going to shoot so many arrows that it's going to blot out the sun, and, you know, there's these 300 Spartans that are fighting against, you know, millions. And one of them, the response from the Spartans is not like, oh, we're so scared of your arrows. They're just like, well, we're just going to have to battle in the shade.
Yeah.
And then they start laughing and they're like, what are you laughing? And later on, they actually do shoot all the arrows out and it does blot out the sun. And then they just start laughing. Right. And it's because they have this confidence and they have this knowing that they're not going to be defeated by it. And that really stood out to me because I feel like sometimes the enemy will come at us with these fears and these making things seem like they're worse than they are. And what's our response going to be? Is it going to be, wow, we have this big God on our side and we can just look at it and say, we're going to be victorious, or are we going to shrivel up? Because really that's what he's trying to do, is trying to make us shrivel up because he knows he's going to lose.
Yeah, and it's when you were talking a little bit ago, Brett, I was thinking of, you know, standing on God's promises, and really what are God's promises? They're truth, right? And truth cuts through darkness, truth cuts through evil, but if we don't recognize them as truth and we don't hold on to them and utilize them as like as truth as a weapon, then mm-hmm. we're going to be on the defensive, and we're going to feel helpless because we don't have like any kind of tools on our side. But I think we're kind of battling that as a society too. Like what is truth? There's a lot of relativism. Well, that's truth for you. Don't put your truth on me. But really, as Christians, we hold on to that God's truth is absolute. That God's truth is the truth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we kind of, I don't know if we allow ourselves, or it's just society's pushing so hard on us that idea of absolute truth, it gets kind of just minimized. And I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, especially with social media, I think giving everybody a voice, I think in theory is like really good, because you do want to allow people to share their experiences and feelings and things that they go through, and to, you know, give everybody a broader perspective. We all have a different walk of life, mm-hmm. but sometimes sure. I think narratives or things get pushed so hard with so many voices that, yeah, it dilutes or drowns out, like, well, what is the truth then? Mm-hmm. Because there's a billion different things that are, you know, similar things said the same way, or, you know, everyone gets up in arms about something, or it just could be whatever. There's just so many voices that it almost like drowns out, okay, well, what am I even thinking or looking at to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. You can go down this rabbit trail of seeing this and then hearing this and then thinking this, and pretty soon you kind of don't even know where you're at and mm-hmm. what even you were looking at or reading or hearing from the beginning, that I do think the truth gets lost, and then everybody has their quote unquote their own truth. So then how do you discern what is the truth if everybody feels like they have a truth? And that's where, as believers, leaning on the truth, God's truth, you know, people can have situations that have happened or things can be factual, but we don't live by the world standard. And so, you know, seeing God's truth is something that can bring clarity to us and allow us to find the truth that we need to stand on, instead of trying to just, you know, guess almost like what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's why there's so much value in what you're doing with the kids, to do memory verse, you know, verse memorization and things like that. They need to be able to know what's in the Bible and know what's true,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to stand on them. Because if they don't, we can tell them, but they have to. I mean, there's something about memorization where it sinks in deeper.
Yeah,
right? And then that's part of it. Then they have to live it out. And I know there's other steps to it, but that's one of the crucial ones. I think a lot of us we kind of forget about. And I'm sure the adults listening too can say, like, oh yeah, there's times where I've done good at mm-hmm. knowing what's in the Bible and memorizing it and standing on it. And there's been times where I haven't. So no, again, it's just pouring back in to what you're doing. I think it's really valuable.
I I was prepping this thing that I was going to say that was so insightful, and then I lost my train of thought because Kyle kept talking.
Oh, man. Okay, so then, fine, I'm going to take it somewhere then. So, I mean, we have this podcast. We can go a little bit different places than we can on Sunday mornings and stuff, just to bring things up for discussion. But this whole truth, what is truth and all that, I mean, we're kind of coming up against some of that, you know, in current topics. We have, you know, there's stuff coming out with Twitter right now that they were using some of their authority to manipulate what's coming out on what's getting released in Twitter feeds and what's getting suppressed and this and that. You know, that influences how people see, you know, political things, economic things, you know, like health, like COVID things, all those kind of things can get affected. So then what appears to be truth could actually not be. I mean, it doesn't mean that it isn't, but there's things that there might be other factors. And I always come back to the saying that a lie repeated 1,000 times is still a lie. But the problem is with human nature, if it's repeated through trusted sources, it starts to get taken as truth because they'll put validity to it. Like, oh yeah, but if so-and-so said, and this person, so then a lie actually becomes a truth to them, but it really is still a lie. And so I think we're in this thing with, like you mentioned earlier, Brett, with social media, there's a lot of voices and not all of them are true. And that's the hard part as believers too. Then we have to filter then with through the word, like what is true, what isn't, but then we have to use common sense, critical thinking and other things that God's blessed us with.
Yeah. And as much as we talk about it being with social media, it's not just something that's new, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even before social media, this phenomenon has been around. I mean, that's really how they got to crucify Jesus, right? Is that they threw it out to the crowd and they said, what should we do with them? We don't think that he did anything wrong. What do you guys think we should do, right? And the narrative had been built up that he was a blasphemer. He was someone that should be crucified. Now, later, we know that he didn't deserve to be crucified. But at the same time, we're still thankful because that's, you know, was part of God's plan for redemption for us. But, you know, this phenomenon of information, deception, and you know, information kind of hive mind type thinking is not a new phenomenon for now just because we have social media. But I think social media is, it kind of takes it to the next level just because of how many voices and how it magnifies it, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you, trying to like encourage you because last time I talked too much and I stopped you. So now I'm trying to give you extra to keep you going, man.
Well, I mean, that's I did remember what I was going to talk about, which is what I just shared. But one of the things as we're wrapping up, I think one of the things that we want to kind of encourage everyone in is, as believers, we want to be known for what we stand for and not just what we stand against. Because I think that's kind of the framing right now, especially of Christians, is, oh, they just are against this and this and against. They're against these people. They're against this cause. They're against these things. But I think what God is really calling us to do is to really be known for what we stand for, and that's for Jesus and for God, and not just what we stand against.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this little topic, I guess, yesterday. We were brainstorming about what we were going to talk about today, and I thought you shared an interesting story about something back from, what was that, early 2000s, Prop 8. And so, yeah, I thought that was a cool story how you shared that.
Yeah, so this is at one of my previous jobs. I was working with a coworker who was a non-believer, and, you know, it was a time for election time, and one of the measures that was on the ballot was Prop 8, which, if you remember, it was when they were starting to decide if they were going to legalize gay marriage.
In California.
In California. And so my friend, who was a non-believer, he knew I was a Christian, and so he asked me, like, oh, what do you think about this? And, you know, my response to him was, I really don't agree with the way that they're promoting it on the no side, which is against the gay marriage, right? And what I felt like was that as a Christians, we were the way that they were advertising it was, you know, protect traditional marriage, vote no against Prop 8 because we don't believe in gay marriage. And so for me, when I saw all of that, some of the things that came to mind were like, are we as Christians even protecting our own marriages? Are we taking stands for our own? Do we have healthy families? Do we have healthy marriages? Do we have healthy relationships? And so that was kind of the discussion that I kind of had for him. Was like, I feel like sometimes we need to look under our own hood and say, are we doing what we need to do to have healthy relationships and healthy marriages? Because if we're not, then we're just really going to be known for what we stand against and not really what we're standing for, which is why do we say no to gay marriage? It's because we believe that healthy marriages are between a man and a woman, and that's how God ordained it. But we also need to make sure that we're doing a good job of cultivating that in our families, in our marriages, right? And not just saying protect the traditional marriage because that's what it's supposed to be, but really showing the world what a healthy marriage and a healthy family and a flourishing family looks like. Because I think that that's something that people want.
Right.
That's something that's attractive.
If we do a better job showing it, then they're actually going to desire that.
Yeah, right? They're going to desire that. But since I think that, especially at that time, it was like, I don't know if we're doing a good job because, you know, some of the statistics were coming out and it's like divorce rates are the same between Christians and non-Christians. Mm. So it's like, if we're not promoting and showing what healthy, flourishing families look like, then people are going to turn away and say, we want to look for something else that, that might be, you know, more fun or more fulfilling or more, because it's obviously not them. They're the same as everybody else. Mm.
Yeah. How did your friend respond to that?
So my friend, he was expecting me just to be like, no, I don't like gay people, da 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 da, all this stuff, right? So then when I shared that response, he was just like, wow, that's a very nuanced answer. That makes me think. And so it was kind of neat too, because after that, I had invited him to church, and then, you know, originally his response to me the first time I asked him to come to church was, oh no, if I step inside a church, I'm going to burn up. But it was cool because since we had started some of these discussions and some of these talks, you know, he did come to church, and then I asked him how it was for him, and he goes, well, you know, I didn't burn up was the first thing he said. But then he said, you know, I feel like the pastor was actually talking directly to me. The thing that he was sharing, like, it really touched him. He didn't all of a sudden say, I'm going to follow Jesus at that moment. But I do know that God spoke to him. And I feel like part of this journey was him recognizing, it's, you know, Damon as a believer isn't just only about what he's against. Mm-hmm. But he's actually thinking through and trying to process all these different things that are going on in the world.
That's awesome. And I was just going to say, if we're diving into marriage, then I'll probably need to take notes from you guys. And so I could just, I'll just sit quiet over here on this side. But I think what I love about what you just shared, it really resonates with me. And it's something that I say all the time with small group, with whoever. It's like, when I hear about God and you know, when I think about us being Christian and just, what does it look like to be a Christian? I think a lot of people have a certain picture you know, you can put words to it. You know, you ask somebody, what do you think a Christian should be like, or how does that person live, or what characteristics do they have? And everybody will have, you know, maybe a slightly different list. But I think the main thing is, like, are we actually living it? You know, are we being about it? Are we, you know, it's nice to say, like, for myself, I could come on here and say, oh yeah, like, it'd be good to pray. It'd be good to memorize verses. Like, oh yeah, like, all those things are good to know or do. But, like, am I being about it? Am I actually doing those things? And so to see you in a situation where, you know, yeah, it could have been very easy for you to answer a certain way or even the assumed way. But, you know, by extending, you know, your discernment and God's love and just the want, that the desire that you have, like, well, what did God want for us in terms of a marriage in response to that specific, you know, prop and question? You really thoroughly thought it out and had a response that I feel like was being about a Christian and having more than just the surface level answer or just the assumed yes or no. And so even when it comes to these different things about prayer, memorizing verses, discerning between all the information, it's like we really need to, as believers, we really need to work on that connection between the head and our heart, and allowing the things that we know and allowing the things that we've either grown up or the new revelations that we have or the things that are being shared with us on Sundays or the devotions that we're going through, and really need to practice living it out, because then that's when I think it becomes easier and we're able to find more of that power and freedom that God has given us to be on the offense. Because if it's only a thought, then it's, I'm pretty sure we're just going to stay on the defense because we don't even know how to score in a sense, or we don't even know how to act on the offense. And so I know for me, it's been a journey to learn how to continue to be about it and to live out those things. And so the things that I hear our pastors preach, the things that, you know, I talk to you guys about, I try to, and sometimes I mess up, but I try to be about it and live it out so that I can see how God is using those things instead of it just being kind of like a nice picture in my head, but something that I can do. And in the words of Marshawn Lynch, got to be all about that action. All about that action.
Well, I was going to say that was Brett's drop the mic moment, because that was like, that was a good closing. And then you went to Marshawn Lynch. I'm like, okay, maybe, maybe not. But no, that was good. Brett. I like that.
Kyle, I thought you were going to say something more than.
No, I'm like, I feel like we're wrapping up. I mean, what you said was good. That was a good wrap up for what we just did.
Yeah. So, kind of in closing, I think the past couple episodes have really been highlighting just being aware of what is going on in the spiritual world. Mm. You know, we are in a spiritual battle. There's a lot of stuff going on. Are we aware of what's going on? We do want to be aware if there are things that are going on that are under the surface. So we do want to raise our level of awareness, but we don't want to allow that to take us to those dark places. We do want to remember that we are on the winning team. God's got our back, and we're going to win. And for us to continue to move forward in understanding how we can go on the offensive, I think that's why we led off with this past season of spiritual disciplines and spiritual practices, because I think that those are things that really will help us as we move forward in trying to stand for God. And if you haven't listened to those episodes, now would be a good time to go back and re-listen to some of them, because I feel like there was a lot of insights that came out in those that help us to recognize what God is doing and how to stand firm on our faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
You guys have any closing thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I know last time there was a talk that it was heavy, but I mean, I don't feel like it's heavy. In the sense that it's just reality, right? Mm-hmm. I think if we always talk about that stuff as being heavy, then that's going to just lead us to avoid it and not deal with it, right? And shy away from it. It's just reality. If we, you know, we have to accept that we're in a battle and we're in a fight, but I don't know. I mean, get pumped up for it. Let's do our best and go on the offense. Let's be warriors, right? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I mean, I don't like the Golden State Warriors, but this is a different kind of Warriors. And so I can be that kind of warrior. But yeah, and I think a big part of it, and it's something that my dad has spoken into me even when I wasn't listening, was the power of like perspective. And right. And so if we're able to change our perspective, even from like this idea of warrior to warrior, or the perspective of like, there's all this darkness around me, there's nothing I can do about it, but changing the perspective to like, no, like, this is the reality, like you said, Kyle, and we are in a battle, but understanding that we have the winning side, we have the person who wins on our side. And so if we're able to keep that perspective amidst all the stuff going on, we're fixing our eyes on the correct, where we're supposed to be fixing our eyes on, then it's going to allow us to live out these things and get on the offense. And so I know this has definitely got me more motivated, and thank you for the affirmation with middle school, but you know, a lot of those things are also things that I'm trying to incorporate into my life, and so I'm hoping that I can continue to step in it and be a warrior.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to be 10 steps ahead of everybody to lead. You just need to be one step ahead and taking people with you. And so, you know, one thing that this picture keeps coming to mind, and I feel like this is the way that I wanted to close us today, is that you know, when the enemy is shooting all the arrows in the air and it seems like the sun is blotted out and we're just standing in darkness, may we be the types of warriors that are laughing and still fighting because we know that we're on the winning side and that God's got our back. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.